This morning I was reading the Bible, and I was previously writing in my journal about what is coming. And I was like, Lord, I just know that you're going to defend me, Lord. You know, I've defended you all these years, and, you know, standing up for truth and whatnot. And I just know that you're going to defend me. You know, it was kind of this little personal thing that I was having with God, because I know, you know, that my time is coming to be called up type of deal. And so I felt in my heart, you need to turn to Acts chapter 22. So I'm going to read this to you. Now, this is Paul talking, and he says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in a Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am verily a man, which is a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem to be punished. Now let's just pause here a minute, because Paul is telling all of these people, I thought I was doing right about my country, about my God, and what I knew to be right, and what my calling was, okay? And remember what I was telling you, I was writing in my journal between me and God this morning. So he's telling them, I did all that I knew was to be right. I am born a Jew. I am defending my people, you know, type of deal. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? And boy, that hit my gut this morning. Because, see, we all know we're about to be persecuted, don't we? And, you know, in a way that we've never known in the United States, we've lived a very cushy life. We really have. You know, there's a lot of people across the world, like in Nigeria, these Christians, you know, they get persecuted and hung every day. You know, we've lived a very cushy life. But I consider it very interesting that Jesus is telling Saul, who is having this experience at this time, the one who is the head of the killing of his people. Okay, this is who Jesus is talking to. But how he is comparing the martyrdom of the saints in that hour to it being actually done to Jesus, you see. That's very interesting, because it lets us know it's not us that are persecuting. We're really not that important, you know. It's not us, per se. It's the Jesus that's in us that they don't like. But by Jesus saying it this way, it gives an impression to me that Jesus is saying, you persecute my bride, you're persecuting me. So this tells me as well that Jesus takes it very seriously what is happening to his people in that day. And so I'm thinking, okay, because we all know we're all, some may be martyred, you know, We're in the same boat they were in back then. But the Lord is letting us know this morning, it's not you, it's me. And when they persecute you, they're persecuting me. And verse 8 says, and I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. Isn't that something? They saw that something was happening to Saul. You know, this great light was upon him and it stopped him in his tracks. But they didn't hear that great, mighty, awesome voice of Jesus talking to him. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of you, which are appointed for you to do. Uh-oh. So Jesus is telling Saul, I know what you've done to my people, but I have something for you to do too, Saul. So I want you to go into this city and I'm going to tell you all that you're calling, what you're really called to do. Okay? And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. Now this next scripture is key. Listen to this. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. He was chosen to hear that voice, huh? And then look at this scripture. For you shall be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. That hit me like a ton of bricks because of what I was just writing in my journal. Now picture, if y'all could just picture yourself in my shoes for a minute, okay? I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting ready to go up for some great persecution here because of what I have exposed about what I saw in Washington, D.C., and what I know to be true type of deal. But then I'm reading this scripture this morning, you shall be his witness to all the men of what you have seen and heard. And I was telling Dennis this morning, I said, just think of the thousands of lives I have saved by telling the truth, causing people to really consider not taking that V, you know, and to see the government for what it is, the leaders and who they really are, and the beast. And what is going on there. So this scripture this morning really let me know, you know, that was your calling, June, was to tell the people what you have seen and heard. Because remember me telling you guys, you know, I did not want to do that. I didn't want to go to Washington, D.C. at all. I didn't want to get involved in politics. I didn't want to change. I knew it corrupted people. You know, I didn't, that just stuff just did not, you know, I just wanted to preach the gospel and be done with it, you know. But God made me. I went up there in obedience on the Trump train, really believing you know, that he was really fighting for us. And I got involved in everything, and God opened up the doors. Nobody in this world can deny the doors that he has opened and the meetings he put me in and allowed me to see with a bird's eye view what was happening in our state's capital. I mean, in our capital and in the White House and the State Department and all that in Washington, D.C. So this was the Lord confirming, you know, that he has called me to be a witness to all the men of what I've seen and heard. Now, let's put it on everybody else's plate, too. Your story is like this. Your story of your life, you know, B.C. before Christ and then A.C. after Christ. Your life is to tell the story of how Jesus saved you and how he, what is the assignment that he has called you to do, and what is the purpose of your life? You know, we know that in the book of Revelation, it tells us that in the last days, let us hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, which means that we have to have ears to hear, you know, what the Lord is saying unto us. Now, another thing about this scripture, as I continued reading through the next chapter and stuff, that confirmed something else for me as well, because I was asking God to justify me. But Paul, when you think about Paul's life, because really none of us, when it comes down to it and they're about to come to your door and arrest you, you really don't want to do that. You really want to live. You know what I mean? You really want to just continue your life, as troublesome as it is now in our volatile hour. Of course, we want to keep living and stay with our kids and grandkids and all that. But it may not be our destiny in the future, is the point of this today. Because I'm sitting here asking God, God, will you please justify me? You know, stand up for me, defend me, you know. But when you look at Paul and the way that Paul died, remember the story of when Paul was going to Jerusalem and his people said, stop, don't go. You know, even a prophet come up to him, Paul, don't go, they're going to beat you. He's like, no, I've already been told they're going to kill me. I'm still going. And then all of his people that were so sad that he was going there knowing that he would be killed, they thought about it a minute, and then they said, the will of the Lord be done. They realized, if that's God's will, it's God's will. And they, of course, they were crying and hugging him and telling him, you know, we love you and everything. But it's the same with our life. The will of the Lord be done. Now, when Paul went into Jerusalem and Paul was martyred there, did God justify him? Did he receive a justification in the minds of the people in the earth? No. Was he vindicated in his name? No. Was he showed to be innocent before he died so that the world would really know the truth about him, that he was just a good man? He was just really serving the Lord. Shouldn't everybody just honor that? Shouldn't they just respect his work for the Lord and all the things that he has done and the sacrifices he's made and the suffering he's done? Shouldn't they at least just consider that before he gets martyred? No. He died a criminal, just like Jesus died a criminal. Jesus himself was not vindicated. Jesus died being humiliated. So humiliated that they put vinegar to mock him when he was thirsty. He was naked upon the cross. I found that out yesterday. I was reading about Jesus when he did the Passover, was naked, which is kind of weird, but when he washed their feet, all he had on was he took off his clothes and cast them aside, and then he put a towel. He girded himself with a towel. But when he washed their feet, he took the towel off and dried their feet, you know. Some, you know, commentators out there say that, you know, he had on underwear. But, I mean, the point is that when he died, he was naked. He was humiliated. So, we can't expect in this hour to be vindicated is the point of this today. Where Jesus was not vindicated, Paul was not vindicated, John in the Isle of Patmos, he was not vindicated, the disciples were not vindicated, maybe to each other, you know, within the circle, you know, they knew what was the truth, but to the world's eye view, they were trash, man, trash is not even, it was so bad. The way that they viewed Jesus and the people, that they would spit on them like dung. It was so bad that they even chose Barabbas over Jesus. The propaganda was so bad, they chose Barabbas over Jesus. This is where we're headed. So we have to get it out of our head. This needing to be vindicated in this hour, to have our honor defended. Because our eyes are upon Jesus only, like Saul. When the light was upon Saul, he heard his voice. And that's what we need to hear, is his voice in this hour. We need his light. We need his favor. We need his approval, not man's approval. So I hope that this time this morning encourages you to be ready to not have that. The vindication, the honor, the being justified publicly and, you know, having your image done right, and, you know, because now it is before us. You know, yesterday on the news when I showed that about Trump and the 40 days, that's very significant, I believe, because we just had the One World Religion do the Passover at the U.S. Capitol, right there where Trump is getting ready to build his Colosseum, his Roman Colosseum. Yes, he's really building he's calling it a football stadium, but we know he is building exactly what I told you guys. He is going to build the Roman Colosseum in Washington, D.C. He is building that city for his castle. It's so crazy when you think about it, because when I would walk them streets in 2019, I realized this is the capital of the world. It's not just the United States here. D.C. is the capital of the world, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's turning it into a city of gold, to where he can parlay and dance with all his evil people while Christians are hung out on a stick in the yard. Colosseums where they can sit around and mock Christians and laugh at their suffering. Daniel in the lion's den is not even a picture of what is going to be coming to the Christians in the future. So my encouragement today, let's get this out of our head about needing to be justified. So let's all bow our heads. Lord, we just come to you this morning, Lord, as your end time church. And Lord, as we read your Bible and we think about, you know, the disciples when they was with you, and what the price they had to pay after you left, Lord, and the suffering they went through, and the humiliation and the persecution they had to go through. We consider what we're going through today, Lord, and what we're about to go through. Lord, we ask that you give us the grace that you gave your disciples, Lord. That's what we need to go through what we're going through, Lord. Because we know in this earth and in this hour, in this time, we may not be justified. We may be just like them, completely humiliated and persecuted, Lord. But we know, Lord, that all of this is only temporary. It's only temporary. Our desire is to be with you throughout eternity. That's where the real living is. This is only a temporary bus stop. This is a temporary bus stop. Waiting to get on the heavenly train that will take us to the glory land, where we will be with you forever, Lord. Help us, Lord, to endure till the end, Lord, to not defame your name, that we choose in our hearts today to keep your honor, Lord, above our own. Lord, we thank you for giving us a good little correction this morning about the needing to be justified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.